That which follows will be a reading of Studies in the Scriptures from the 1916-1917 edition, the last edition that Brother Russell presented for printing. The readings are from the original Watchtower Bible and Tract Society publications of that era. Variations exist between this edition and the New Brunswick and Dawn editions of modern times. The cover. The time is at hand. A helping hand for Bible students. Flyleaf. Studies in the Scriptures. The path of the just is as the shining light, which shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Series 2. The time is at hand. 1,657,000 edition. Times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, whom the heavens must retain, until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4. International Bible Students Association, Brooklyn, London, Melbourne, Barmen, Copenhagen, Orebro, Christiania, Geneva, 1916. Overleaf. Copyright 1889, Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, Brooklyn, New York, USA. Written in 1889 by Pastor Russell. The dedicatory page. To the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in the interest of his consecrated saints, waiting for the adoption, and of all that in every place call upon the Lord, the household of faith, and of the groaning creation, travailing and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, this work is dedicated. To make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things under Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4, 5, and 9, and chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. N.B. This volume can also be supplied in the German, Swedish, Dano-Norwegian, French, and Greek languages. The Time is at Hand, the Author's Foreword. The first edition of this volume was given to the public in A.D. 1889. Since then, one edition after another has gone forth in various languages. Until now, more than 1.5 million copies are in the hands of the people. These figures are astonishing when we consider how few people today have any faith in the Bible as a divine revelation, and how few of those who do have faith in the Bible have an appreciation of prophecy and of chronology, especially of Bible chronology, and the Bible's history of the world. The author and the publishers have great cause for rejoicing in the evidence continually coming to hand that this volume has proven very helpful to the people of God in every land in the study of the Bible, in collating the message of the Lord's Word under various headings and classifications assistful to the student. Especially have we heard of many being blessed in their study of the manner of the Second Advent, in the scriptural proof set forth in this volume that our Lord will never again come to this earth as a man, having fulfilled completely his mission as a human being, when he, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man at Calvary. The texts brought to the attention of the reader, proving that now our Lord is the glorified one at the Father's right hand, and is soon to become King of the world, have been assistful to many, as their letters testify. This volume makes no claim to infallibility, and no claim of any direct inspiration from God in the interpretation of his word. On the contrary, it does claim that the divine revelation is the Bible. Its endeavor has been to collate the Bible evidences and to offer suggestions in respect to their significance. Dealing with subjects so difficult that they are rarely touched by others, it is not to be considered strange if some of the suggestions made in this volume have not been fulfilled with absolute accuracy to the very letter. But the author, the publishers, and the thousands of readers of this volume are not ashamed of its presentations, and are still handing it forth to all who have an interest in Bible study as most interesting and most helpful in an understanding of the Lord's Word. The Bible chronology herein presented shows that the 6,000-year days beginning with Adam are ended, and that the great seventh day, the 1,000 years of Christ's reign, began in 1873. The events of these 43 years, which this volume claims as the beginning of the millennium, we still find fully corroborating Bible prophecies, as herein set forth. During these 43 years, nearly all the inventions of our day have been accomplished. The sewing machine, one of the first, began to reach its perfection 43 years ago. Since then, we have all kinds of farming machinery and tools and workshop, store, factory, and home conveniences in abundance and cheap through human invention. These are shortening the hours of labor and doing away with the sweat of face, which the Bible declares to be identified with the curse. It is entirely safe to say that in these 43 years, the world has increased its riches 1,000-fold. And when we remember that behind the 43 years lies a total of 6,000 years of human endeavor, it seems almost a miracle that the world should accomplish 1,000 times more in the past 43 years than in the 6,000 years preceding. Surely this well attests the claim of this volume that we have entered the great seventh day, and that what we are already experiencing as a race are only the four gleams of the much greater blessings still to come, when the Sun of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his beams and scatter all the darkness, ignorance, and superstition of the world. This volume sets forth what its author has been preaching for over 40 years, that the times of the Gentiles chronologically ended in the fall of A.D. 1914. The expression, times of the Gentiles, in Bible usage, signifies the years or period of time in which the Gentile nations of the world were to be permitted to have control following the taking away of the typical kingdom from natural Israel, and filling the hiatus between that event and the establishment of God's kingdom in the hands of Messiah, whose right it is, Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 27. We could not, of course, know in 1889 whether the date 1914, so clearly marked in the Bible as the end of the Gentile lease of power or permission to rule the world, would mean that they would be fully out of power at that time, or whether, their lease expiring, their eviction would begin. The latter we perceive to be the Lord's program, and promptly in August 1914, the Gentile kingdoms referred to in the prophecy began the present great struggle, which, according to the Bible, will culminate in the complete overthrow of all human government, opening the way for the full establishment of the kingdom of God's dear Son. We are not able to see behind the veil. We are not able to know the things progressing under the direction of our glorious Lord and the members of His church already glorified. Our thought is that somehow the Lord is taking a hand in the affairs of the world now, as He did not do in times past. We do know that the great time of trouble, which has begun, very closely corresponds to the divine declaration respecting the time and conditions of the establishment of Messiah's kingdom. The Lord Himself informs us that, at the time He shall take to Himself His great power and reign, the nations will be mad, and the divine wrath will come. A little later on, the time will come for the judging of the dead, and the giving of the reward to God's servants, small and great, leading on finally to the destruction of the incorrigible, who would exercise a corrupt influence upon the earth. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. All over the world, people knew of the expectations of Bible students in respect to the year A.D. 1914. And when so stupendous a war as the present one broke loose, when the winds of strife began to blow with such fury and destruction, thousands remembered what they had heard and read respecting the end of the Gentile times. Thousands today have come to fully appreciate the times in which we are living. The influence is very helpful and inspiring. A realization that we are in the day of the Lord, and that very soon all of His saints will be gathered to Him by the resurrection change, has a stimulating and encouraging influence upon Bible students, separating them from the world and its fears and ambitions, and fixing their eyes upon the crown of life which the Lord has in reservation for them that love Him most. The author acknowledges that in this book he presents the thought that the Lord's saints might expect to be with Him in glory at the ending of the Gentile times. This was a natural mistake to fall into, but the Lord overruled it for the blessing of His people. The thought that the church would all be gathered to glory before October 1914 certainly did have a very stimulating and sanctifying effect upon thousands, all of whom accordingly can praise the Lord, even for the mistake. Many, indeed, can express themselves as being thankful to the Lord that the culmination of the church's hopes was not reached at the time we expected, and that we, as the Lord's people, have further opportunities of perfecting holiness and of being participators with our Master in the further presentation of His message to His people. Our mistake was evidently not in respect to the ending of the times of the Gentiles. We drew a false conclusion, however, not authorized by the word of the Lord. We saw in the Bible certain parallels between the Jewish age and the Gospel age. We should have noted that these parallels follow the nominal systems to destruction in both cases and do not indicate the time of the glorification of the new creation. This explanation will help the reader as he studies the time is at hand. We have no doubt that the great blessings which have come to many of us in the past will continue to go through the volume to thousands of others. So with it go the prayers of the author, Charles T. Russell, Brooklyn, New York, October 1, 1916. In the interest of historic preservation, we will read the original preface to the 1889 edition of The Time is at Hand. Preface. We cannot too earnestly urge upon the reader that, before beginning the study of The Time is at Hand, he should have clearly in mind the plan of the ages. To study the time, without having previously a knowledge of the general character of the events to be expected, would be worse than useless. The scripture quotations of this volume are not always those of the common version, which is not always the best. We have followed it in the main, however, departing only in cases where clearness of sense demanded. For the same reason, we have not been able to adopt entire any one of the various translations, each of which, possessing some merits, possesses also some demerits. Translators, who did not understand the subjects, whose due time to be understood had not yet come in their day, could not be expected to give more accurate translations than they have given. Their services to the church in this direction, though not faultless, have been of great value and should not be underestimated. We earnestly request all who consider these subjects worthy of investigation not to skim through this book, but, beginning at the preface, to read it throughout in consecutive order. This is necessary because the subjects and the manner in which they are treated are unusual, and in passing lightly over any portion, connecting links will be lost, and thus the force of the interwoven testimony of prophecy be lessened. Remember that the topic is one, and that every detail has its weight and influence. To appreciate the conclusions reached, the reader must give the subject the patient and careful study of which it is worthy. That the study of the truths herein presented may prove as great a blessing to the reader as their presentation has been to the writer and his helpmate, that all may appreciate the fact that the real author of these jewels of truth is God, who now makes them known to such as have an ear to hear through his willing servants, because the due time has come, and that each as he hears the good tidings that the time is at hand for the establishment of Messiah's kingdom in the earth, may thereby be strengthened and enabled to become a more faithful servant of the Lord in heralding the truth, is the desire and prayer of yours in fellowship and service, Charles T. Russell. The 1902 edition of the preface has been slightly modified, and we will read that here. Preface. We cannot too earnestly urge upon the reader that, before beginning the study of The Time is at Hand, he should have clearly in mind the plan of the ages. To study the time, without having previously a knowledge of the general character of the events to be expected, would be worse than useless. The scripture quotations of this volume are not always those of the common version, which is not always the best. We have followed it in the main, however, departing only in cases where clearness of sense demanded. For the same reason, we have not been able to adopt entire any of the various translations, each of which, possessing some merits, possesses also some demerits. Translators who did not understand the subjects, whose due time to be understood had not yet come in their day, could not be expected to give more accurate translations than they have given. Their services to the Church in this direction, though not faultless, have been of great value and should not be underestimated. We earnestly request all who consider these subjects worthy of investigation not to skim through this book, but, beginning at the preface, to read it throughout in consecutive order. This is necessary because the subjects and the manner in which they are treated are unusual, and in passing lightly over any portion, connecting links will be lost, and thus the force of the interwoven testimony of prophecy be lessened. Remember that the topic is one, and that every detail has its weight and influence. To appreciate the conclusions reached, the reader must give the subject the patient and careful study of which it is worthy. Our earnest prayer is that the truths herein presented may bring as great a blessing to the conscientious reader as their presentation has been to the writer. The real author of these jewels of truth is God, whose due time has now come for revealing them through His Word and Spirit to such as have an ear to hear. The writer disclaims any originality and merely presents to the attention of fellow Christians what he gleans from Scripture, citing the student of the divine word to it as the only lamp now shining on the narrow way. The writer's hope is that each child of God, as he hears the good tidings that the time is at hand for the establishment of Messiah's kingdom in the earth, may thereby be strengthened and enabled to become a more faithful servant of the Lord in heralding the truth. Yours in fellowship and service, Charles T. Russell, Allegheny, Pennsylvania, 1889. This preface was published from about 1897 to about 1908, when it was changed to a uniform preface, which occurs in all of the volumes with the same text. This was read already for the opening of Volume 1.